So we just played, as I said a moment ago, new music from, or the most recent, I should say, from Incubus. There's a new EP coming out, Trust Falls, Side B. It's going to be on the 17th. And over the years, at a couple different radio stations, we've had the opportunity to speak this gentleman a number of times. He's great. He's a wonderful singer, great performer live. And we're happy to have him on once again. It's Brandon Boyd of Incubus. Hey, Brandon. Hello.
Hi. Sounds like you guys have a lot of people in here. Hello.
There's three of us here. That's it. Some are at home and actually can hear you and speak to you as well, as we're trying to, you know, minimize the numbers. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. There's just a bit of a delay, so we weren't sure if we had you or not. Where are you? I assume you're at home, right, Brandon? Like the rest of us?
I am at home. I've actually been at home for, I think I'm going into my 7th week of isolation, which is it's been very interesting.
Wow. Why 7 weeks? Why has it been that length for you?
You know, I started to just, I read a lot, and I started reading about stuff starting to unfold, and this was our downtime from, you know, being off tour and stuff, and I kind of hang out at home a lot anyway, so I figured I would just take it easy, and I guess the term that everyone's using is act with an abundance of caution. And in doing so, I ended up being kind of, I was right on the money.
Well, you know, so you're someone who obviously, you know, I consider you sort of a Renaissance person. You have many different interests, and there's a list on your social media of books that you've been tearing through, apparently. But you're obviously also an artist. In fact, at one of our former stations, you did artwork for one of the CDs that we released.
Yeah.
And so you're good at occupying your time. So have you had an artistic explosion, or how is it manifesting at home?
So to speak, yeah. You are correct in saying that I do spend a lot of time at home when we're not on tour. So it's not terribly unusual for me to not leave my house for days or, you know, weeks on end sometimes. But yeah, you know, I think the major difference is that I learned how to cook in this past handful of weeks.
Okay, now if you tell us you made banana bread, we'll be very impressed because everybody we've spoken to has made banana bread.
That's really weird that you say that, because I had never attempted to bake before, and not 2 days ago, my girlfriend and I made banana bread.
There you go! Seriously? Banana bread! God. It's bringing the world together.
Dude, my mind is blown.
Banana bread.
That's so funny. Oh, my God.
I got to get my wife to make banana bread.
Good, I got to say it.
You can't.
It was pretty good,
Brandon. Okay. You can't f up banana bread, and in fact, it's the one thing that requires you to let one of the elements rot a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why we started there.
Nice. Hey, you know what, Brandon? I have a question, because, you know, if you do like your downtime, and I understand that, because you remind me, you're a very cool guy and you're a very arty guy, which is wonderful, and not just music, but actually art and reading. And we actually have this game here that you created a while back called Two Doors. I've got it right in front of me here, and it's all your artwork. Nice. But you know, people of your ilk, I don't know if you caught the story of Jared Leto a little while back. He went off on this retreat where he was cut off from the outside world and had no idea that the coronavirus had happened. Came back and was like, oh my God, this is going on. Now, with you being a consumer of information as well, do you think you could ever shut yourself off like that and just kind of go off into separating yourself from the world for a while?
100% absolutely.
Okay, and if you did, where would you go?
I've always, you know, the thing, I haven't talked to Jared, but I'm assuming he went on what's called a Vipassana meditation course, where it's a 10-day silent meditation, and you don't use cell phones, you don't even speak while you're there, you basically eat, sleep, and meditate, and evidently it's a wonderful experience, and so I've always wanted to do that particular thing, but also I do think there is some value in occasionally unplugging from normal life occasionally.
Well, you know? Jared went on a 12-day.
Hopefully not under, like, Oh, wow. Yeah, I would do that, too.
Yeah.
You know, it would be fun would be to go and do one of those kind of like outward bounds type things where you go off into the forest and learn how to live in the forest with nothing but like a knife and, and a rope or something like that.
All right. Well, that
Rambo situation.
Yeah, yeah. Meditating the Rambo way.
That leads me to ask about the rest of the guys in the band. Are they like that, or would they just say, oh, Brandon went and did this thing?
I feel like they wouldn't be terribly surprised. If
I would love to see Brandon Boyd as Rambo. That would be great. Instead of blowing up the town, he comes back with great reading suggestions.
Oh, that's great.
Right, and banana bread.
Banana bread.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about a promotion you guys are doing, and it does involve your art. Apparently, there is a, I guess it's a boombox or something like that that you've done up. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, just a promotional thing. They wanted me to paint all over this boombox, and then people enter this raffle around our new EP coming out on April 17th. And then the winner gets that actual boombox that I hovered over and painted on. I guess that's all the information I have.
Okay. All right. That's it. That's all you need to know.
But was the boombox your idea, or did they come to you and say, Brandon, we have this idea, you know?
they came to me with that one actually, which, and I was pleasantly surprised with how kind of off the wall and creative it was. So all I was right. happy to, I love drawing on things, so right. I was happy to play along.
Cool. Well, in another piece of high art, have you been watching the Tiger King series? Because you ended up in a, it was an article that cast you in the role of Doc Antle. I wonder if you're familiar with all that, were you hep to that?
You know, I don't watch a ton of TV, but I couldn't ignore the onslaught in the media any longer. So I kind of finally acquiesced and I watched it. And I have to say that not only was I completely fascinated by it, but there was also something about it that was kind of terrifying.
Sure.
In that by the end of it, I was like, these are real people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. And the whole time, I got to say, the entire time I watched it, I was like, there's something real methy about this. Something real methy going on here. And then by like, what was it, like the sixth episode, they revealed, they started talking about meth mouse and all of these crazy things. So me being cast as Doc Antle, though, I mean, I'll give it a shot.
It could be another alter ego of yours. And I want to ask you about this because on your Wikipedia, it says Brandon Boyd, also known as, and I'm not sure if you take on alter egos as you're recording albums, but you're also known as the Invisible Floating Torso Man, Happy Nappy, Brandon of the Jungle, and Cornelius. Can you explain?
I'll do my best.
Okay.
I've been given many monikers over the years, all of which were given to me by guys in the band.
All right.
I think the only one that I actually chose was Cornelius when we first started our band and we started, you know, entertaining the idea of putting our names on albums. All of us thought it would be, mind you, we were 15 years old, but all of us thought it would be cool if we never put our real names on the albums. So for the first couple of things we put out, indie releases, I was either Cornelius or Brandon of the Jungle.
Okay.
I don't know if I could explain it beyond that. We just thought it would be cool if we always put aliases.
I love it.
We gave that up pretty quickly.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask about the EP. I mentioned it's coming out on the 17th. I want to make sure I have my information correct because I have the title as Trust Fall Side B. I'm not sure if it's Trust Fall or just Trust Fall Side B. And if so, how many songs on it, and what's the idea behind the title, or was it just a fun sounding title you came up with?
You are correct. It is Trust Fall Side B, and yep, it comes out on the 17th, which is very soon, actually, which mm-hmm. is fun. There's five songs on it, and Trust Fall Side B is the I suppose it's either the completion of or the accompaniment to Trust Fall Side A, which came out in 2014, I think. So we always intended on completing that Trust Fall thing. We just never put a date on exactly when that was going to be. So we were writing this new music, and we figured it was finally time to kind of finish that thought.
Okay,
you could say.
And is it a little bit of a nod to vinyl in that, you know, you not only did people have their favorite albums, you had your favorite side of an album usually too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Very much so. Either the album or the cassette tape. We all grew up in an era when, you know, listening to an album was an experience, and you would either have to physically turn the album over and have the second part of your experience in the side B, or if you had one of those cool tape decks that automatically turned it over for you. Do you guys remember those?
Yes. Yeah, so absolutely. I had a few of those.
That was high tech. So yeah, it's a bit of a nod to that experience in music. We very much understand that we won't be going back to that in any way, but it's sort of a just kind of a, you know, a wink and a nod to a different experience with music.
Brandon, the mechanism of releasing music, and you know, you were talking obviously with the time that you're hearkening back to when there would be this album that would come out, and you know, and then maybe singles would come out, and if you going back to the days of a 45, there'd be sort of a song that didn't make the album on the other side. Sometimes it'd be really cool. So that was sort of how that worked back then. Now an artist, and artists such as yourself and your band, can say, okay, here's five songs in a clip, here's three more, and parse it out that way. Do you believe that both have their merit, or do you still long for the day where you could, you know, have a full-throated effort to release a full album and it made an impact the way it used to, or does this way work for you?
You know, I think that there's something to be said for any way that people want to experience music. Who am I to decide, you know, the format that music comes out in? I definitely have a preference. I just love making albums. I love the experience of disappearing into a studio for months at a time and then emerging with a sort of completed thought or a little journey or a little universe of sorts that you can pass on to people. But I'm the first one to admit that there are countless ways that people can experience music. So if they want to experience music one song at a time and just download singles, or if they want to steal it off the internet, or if they want to put their, you know, sit in their car in the parking lot of the outdoor venue and just listen from there, like whatever.
right.
It's my opinion that there are better ways of going about experiencing music. You know, if I had the ability to give people what I think is the best way, I would give them a pair of headphones and sit them down in front of a record player and have them listen to music on vinyl and headphones with a big old joint and a cup of coffee.
Yeah, nice.
But that's not possible for every person.
No. I think your lyrics are very, very personal lyrics. And, you know, so I listen to them and I hear them obviously a lot different than you wrote them down and deliver them. And so I wanted to ask you about singing songs that are older, and you have, you know, grown, your mentality has grown, and, you know, how, you know, that changes over time. So, you know, like a song like Earth to Bella, parts one and two, you know, how those hit you today compared to when you originally first wrote them?
Those songs in particular, I still resonate with quite deeply. I think that, if anything, that, you know, I've definitely learned a lot as I've grown up in music, and I've changed a lot. A lot of my sensibilities have changed. A lot of my tastes have changed. But I have to say, for the most part, I'm still thrilled to sing almost all of our songs, even stuff we wrote when we were quite young. There's really only a small handful of songs that we wrote, mostly when we were teenagers, that I kind of cringe at the thought of performing, just because I listen to them now and they seem kind of dumb to me. But for the most part, like, I would say it's in like the 90 percentile. I'm pretty proud and pretty happy of what we've done. You can't always look back on the haircuts and the choices you made in your clothing styles and be 100% happy with it. Yeah. But I think for the most part, we can be proud of what we've done.
Brandon, I know you know you don't have a crystal ball and you can't tell what's going to happen in this current condition that we're in with the pandemic and quarantine and so forth, but you've never shied away lyrically from touching on things that are happening in the world. Do you think that this, what we're all going through, is going to motivate you artistically, lyrically?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't know completely how it's going to affect my process. I don't think any of us know how it's going to affect anything on a larger scale. I think that probably everybody has a felt sense that nothing will ever really be entirely the same as it was just a couple of months ago, which is that's a big thing. And so time will tell for sure. Creatively, though, I have been inspired by the time in this relative isolation. And I think that one of the amazing things about art, and especially music, as music relates to art, troubled times tend to produce really amazing, transformative art and music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that some of the greatest music that we all have come to know and love, and music that has really changed us, all emerged during times of turmoil and uncertainty. So,
well, looking over history,
I have high hopes for, yeah.
And past pandemics, they've always resulted in incredible innovations in banana bread.
Yeah.
So I think we can expect a new golden era of banana bread. I wanted to ask you about the song Dig, because it's one of my absolute favorite songs. And I wanted to know, in particular, you know, we all have someone who digs at us. Was someone digging at you at that particular time when you wrote that?
Yeah. I suppose there were a number of situations in my own life that were kind of doing their best to drag me down, but I found a kind of a solidarity in my closest chosen family, like my closest friends. It really was the guys in the band who I was able to lean into, and they kind of inspired the lyric in that song. So, yeah. Thank you for saying so. I appreciate that.
No, it's a great song. I was just wondering. I can remember one prick in particular, but no. It was just sort of a general.
Right.
One last thing to touch on, Brandon. You guys are scheduled to be here in the Philly area, BB&T Pavilion, on August 23rd. As of now, that's a go-ahead. We've seen a lot of cancellations and postponements. Any thoughts as of now? It's just, forward steam ahead and then we'll figure out what's going on as we get closer.
That's kind of the mentality for us right now. We're very much, you know, we're being sort of cautiously optimistic about this summer. I think it was just yesterday we had to postpone all of our May headlining dates.
Yeah.
Hopefully until the fall. So, we're just doing what I suppose everybody else in the world is doing. We're doing what we need to, doing everything that we can to help slow the spread. And we would very much like to perform this summer. I'll tell you that. I miss even being in the rehearsal studio with the guys in the band. There's something very kind of cathartic and therapeutic about just playing loud music. So
yeah.
I am anxious to get out there and do it. But all that being said, we're going to do what needs to be done. We don't want to endanger anybody's health, and our fans and our crew and our own health. So we'll do what we need to do.
Makes total sense. All right. Well, listen, we appreciate the time. We're going to remind people coming out on the 17th, Trust Fall Side B. We've been playing Our Love, and looking forward to hearing some new music and looking forward to seeing you guys in August, Brandon. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much. Have a great morning, guys.
You too. All right, Brandon Boyd, guys. Very cool guy. Super nice. Always been. We've encountered him a number of times throughout the years. And
very
he's just
pleasant.
Really smooth. A lot of ladies like him, too. I've seen him text.
Yeah, he's a great looking dude. Yeah, he's married to obviously she's gorgeous. But honestly, did you not freak when he said 2 days ago he made banana bread?
Dude.
It's all the rage.
I mean, come the F on.
We will forever be able to say banana bread to him, and he'll remember exactly what we're talking about. Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.